Good evening. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew 24. Once you open your Bibles to Matthew 24, you may want to mark Matthew 24 and then turn over to Daniel 9 and mark Daniel 9 and then turn back to Matthew 24. I believe that will help you with our study together as we study God's Word together tonight. We'll be in Matthew 24, and then we'll be making our way to Daniel 9. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the second coming of Christ on Sunday mornings from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 5. Last week, we considered another lesson on the judgment day of Jesus Christ. We realized that this event is important. And in that study, we mentioned something from Matthew chapter 24 that caused me to think a little deeper about Matthew 24, and one thing led to another, and we're looking at a lesson here in Matthew 24 based upon something that Jesus says in this chapter. We're not going to be studying all of Matthew 24. Really, we're going to be looking at a statement found in Matthew 24, verse number 15, where Jesus cites Daniel chapter 9, 24, and following. But as we look at this study together, I really want you to see the context of Matthew 24, and we've mentioned this last week. As you're studying Matthew 24, you'll notice verse number 3, Jesus is going to answer some questions. You'll notice in verse number 3, His disciples will say, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?" There are three questions that Jesus is going to be answering in Matthew 24. Now, the first two have to do with the destruction of Jerusalem. And then this third question has to do with the end of the world, where Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but My Father only." Again, this is where Jesus talks about the second coming. You can go back to verse number 33 and 34, which is key to really see in the context of Matthew 24, to see that everything that Jesus is saying leading up to verse 33 and verse 34 would be fulfilled in this generation, the generation that Jesus Christ was speaking to. But Jesus, as He is describing the destruction of Jerusalem, is going to point to one of Daniel's prophecies. And that prophecy is recorded in Daniel 9, 24 and following. And this is Daniel's prophecy of the abomination of desolation. Consider what Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse number 15. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." Now Jesus is making the point, when you see these things unfolding, you need to get out of Jerusalem. You need to get out of town. And there's so much in Daniel's prophecy that we want to mention tonight. And I truly believe when we look at passages like we're looking at tonight in verse 15, and as we go back to the book of Daniel, we're really digging a little deeper in Scripture. And we should challenge ourselves to dig deeper into Scripture and to really understand Scripture and to study those various prophecies of the Old Testament. You realize that there are over 300 prophecies, messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. And those prophecies are fascinating. And what fascinates me about prophecy is the detail that centers around those prophecies. And I hope tonight, as we study Daniel's prophecy of the abomination of desolation, the destruction of Jerusalem, you'll have a deeper appreciation of the Old Testament Scriptures. The Jews had the Old Testament Scriptures. They would know exactly what Jesus was talking about. And so let's turn back to the Old Testament. Let's turn back to Daniel chapter 9. And as I said, we're not going to look at all of Matthew 24. We're not going to look at the entirety of Daniel 9. We're going to look at a small section of Daniel 9. And we'll focus on Daniel 9, 24 through 27 in our study tonight. Let's give a little bit of background, though, to the book of Daniel and to Daniel chapter 9. The kingdom of Judah had suffered captivity from 606 to 536 B.C. The prophet Jeremiah spoke about this Babylonian captivity in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse number 29. Jeremiah said that God's people would be in captivity for some 70 years. The people went into captivity because of their idolatrous practices. And God would cure them of those idolatrous practices. And so Jeremiah made it clear to the people that they would go into captivity, and captivity would last for some 70 years. Now, as we think about Daniel and how Daniel fits into all of this, Daniel was taken into Babylonian captivity. He was taken with the first group that was led into Babylonian captivity. Now, as you look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, we see that Daniel was a prophet. And the book of Daniel is amazing. And all the different stories that we read about Daniel and how God used Daniel. But Daniel received this prophecy, the prophecy that Jesus mentions in Matthew 24, 2 years before the Jews were released from captivity. He received this prophecy. He mentions these things. These things are going to happen in the future. Now, as you look at Daniel chapter 9, I just want you to glance at verse number 26. And as you look at Daniel 9, verse 26, you're going to see that Daniel is speaking about the Messiah. The Hebrew word Messiah is the Greek word Christ. Those two terms are synonymous. We're talking about the Messiah, the anointed one. What's interesting is when you consider the Hebrew and Greek word, Christ in English translates the anointed one. And you see how all of those words fit together, speaking about Christ's role as prophet, priest, and king. And he fulfilled all three roles as the Messiah, as the Christ, and as the anointed one. Well, as we read these verses together and as we make our way through 24 through 27, somewhat of a challenge. If you ever studied the book of Daniel, just right off the bat, we read about the 70 weeks. What are the 70 weeks? We'll come back to that as we consider one of the points. But as we go through 24 through 27, we're going to mention three points. And I believe these three points will help us work through this section of Scripture. First, we're going to talk about the coming of the Messiah. The coming of the Messiah. The chronology of the Messiah. And then we're going to talk about the consequences of the Jews rejecting the Messiah. And you'll see all three points really brought out in this short section of Scripture. As I said, believe me, we are digging deeper into the Scriptures. Anytime you turn to the book of Daniel, you are digging deeper into the Scriptures. But as I said, we should challenge ourselves to dig deeper and to study God's Word and to look at these different prophecies, because they're fascinating and they'll give us a deeper appreciation for the Word of God. And it should really increase our enthusiasm when we study these things. And we see how these things were fulfilled, and it really gives us a deeper appreciation of who Jesus is. It really gives us a deeper appreciation of the church, the kingdom of God, the plan of salvation. Brother Leonard mentioned the plan of salvation in his prayer. And that's one of the points that we're going to see tonight in the book of Daniel. The prophet Daniel mentions God's plan of salvation. And I'll show you that in just a few minutes. So let's look at this first point, the coming of the Messiah. And as we look at this first point, there's going to be several sub-points coming from verse number 24. As we begin looking at verse number 24, look at what it says. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now listen to this. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and number 3, to make reconciliation for iniquity. You're looking at verse 24, the coming of the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, He will finish transgression. He will make an end of sins. And we see He will make reconciliation for iniquity. This would all be accomplished through the Messiah. When you're looking at verse 24, don't make it more difficult than what it is. And sometimes we do that when we're looking at prophecy. But really, Daniel is saying the same thing in three different ways. What is Daniel talking about in the first part of verse number 24? Here it is. When the Messiah comes, the Messiah will make atonement for sin. Christ will make an atonement for sin. That is the first part of Daniel's prophecy. And as we think about that, when we hear that, we understand how important that is. Hebrews 9 verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And you know, when you go back and study the Old Testament, and even when you back up and study both dispensations, the patriarchal dispensation, the Mosaic dispensation, again, we see animal sacrifices. And we learn something about animal sacrifices in Hebrews 10, verse number 4. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins, not on their own. But God allowed these sacrifices, instructed His people to offer these sacrifices that ultimately pointed to Christ. Blood was an important part of God's plan. We see that in the very beginning. In Leviticus 17, verse number 11, God explains those sacrifices. He explains the shedding of blood. He says, I have given you blood to make an atonement for sin. It takes blood to make an atonement for sin. But the blood of bulls and goats could not make atonement on their own. And here in Daniel chapter 9, we learn whose blood would make that atonement for sin. In Hebrews 9 verse 26, and by the way, the book of Hebrews is so important when it comes to atonement, when it comes to really grasping who Christ is, the Messiah, the Anointed One. In Hebrews 9 verse 26, We see that Jesus appeared, the point that we're making, He's coming. Daniel says He's coming. Hebrews 9 verse 26 says He appeared to take away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. You see, Jesus offered a perfect sacrifice. And by offering a perfect sacrifice, He made atonement for sin. And because of His atonement, as we talked about this morning, we can escape the wrath of God. We're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, according to Romans 5, verse 9. In 1 Peter 2, verse number 24, Peter says about Christ, He bore our sins on the tree. He died on the cross. He paid the price for our sins. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. And there are so many more passages that you can look at as these passages relate to the atonement that Jesus Christ made for sin. And that's what Daniel is describing. That's what he is talking about. When the Messiah comes, He will put an end to sin. Daniel's not saying that sin would never exist. We know that sin exists. We know that we struggle with sin. But Christ would provide atonement for sins. Continue to read with me Daniel 9, verse number 24. When the Messiah comes, notice number 2, what He is going to bring. And you see that in verse 24. Notice what the Messiah will bring. We can see what He's going to finish, but notice what He is going to bring. He is going to bring everlasting righteousness. Dear friends, this is an allusion to the gospel system. This is an allusion to the gospel system. Again, verse number 24, everlasting righteousness. You may circle or highlight the word righteousness and write down Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I believe verse 17 is key, though, to really grasping what we're saying here in Daniel 9, verse 24. Verse 17, Paul says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. But notice that again. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. What is Paul specifically talking about? It's what Brother Leonard mentioned in his prayer. It's God's plan of salvation that makes us right with God. We must hear the gospel. We must believe the gospel. We must repent of our sins. We must confess Christ. We must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And when a person obeys the plan of righteousness, that plan makes us right with God. Now notice what Daniel said about that plan of righteousness under the Christian dispensation. How does he describe it? As everlasting righteousness. Here's the point. The New Testament plan of salvation is the final plan. There will never be another plan that destroys the doctrine of premillennialism. Whether premillennialists want to accept it or not, it destroys it, and it destroys what so many are talking about in the religious world. We have God's final plan of salvation. Everlasting righteousness. We see that Jesus would make an end to sin when He comes. We also see that He will bring righteousness. But notice, the Messiah will, look at the third point, from verse 24. When He comes, the Messiah will seal up the vision and prophecy. To seal means to bring to a conclusion. Upon the completion of the New Testament, here's the idea, Revelation would be sealed up. Think about it. Upon the completion of the New Testament, Daniel says Revelation would be sealed up. Now you stop and you think about what Daniel is prophesying. Everything else that we see in the New Testament dealing with Revelation and how God guided the apostles into all truth, John 16, verse 13, has to harmonize, fit in exactly with what Daniel's prophesying. Or there would be a contradiction. But friends, there is no contradiction when you look at Scripture. I'm studying with people who understand the harmony of Scripture. And by the way, Scripture harmonizes. And that's why you can look at Old Testament prophecies and you see how they were fulfilled perfectly in the New Testament. Well, here Daniel is speaking about the completion of Revelation. Are there other passages in the New Testament that speak about the completion of Revelation? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. The part, the miraculous dispensation. The perfect, the completed revelation of God's Word. James will mention that idea of perfect, teleos. The completed revelation of God's Word. James describes it as the perfect liberty. We are liberated through the perfect law of liberty when we obey that plan of salvation. But as you think about Daniel's prophecy, we're talking about the completed New Testament. As I said, you stop and think about these things. That shuts down what Joseph Smith says, that he received additional revelation from God. He did not receive additional revelation from God because that would go against what Daniel prophesied. That would go against what the apostles taught about revelation. And so when we consider Daniel's prophecy, again, we see all these different things that will happen when the Messiah would come. He would make an atonement for sin. He would establish His plan of salvation, His plan of righteousness, and He would seal up Revelation. Revelation. Scripture would be concluded. And thus we have the New Testament. We have the completed revelation of God's Word. We don't have to turn to anything else pertaining to life and godliness according to 2 Peter 1 verse 3. Everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness is revealed here in the Holy Word of God. And notice this last point just from verse number 24. He will seal up the vision of prophecy and notice to anoint the Most Holy. When the Messiah comes, He will be anointed. Write down Acts 10 verse number 38. And we can see that Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power as He carried out His commission. But then drop down to verse number 27. This is still under point number 1, the coming of the Messiah. And I promise you, as we move through the other two points, we'll do so rapidly. This first point is a little longer, and you see those sub-points from verse number 24, But this point still fits under the coming of the Messiah there in verse number 21. And I want you to notice that when the Messiah comes, what Daniel says about, listen to it, sacrifices and oblations. What does he say in verse number 27 about sacrifices? Read it with me. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause, listen to it, sacrifice and the oblation, circle it, to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he will make it desolate, even until the consummation, that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. This, I believe, is an allusion to the end of the old law that contained sacrifices, animal sacrifices. Daniel says sacrifices and the oblation will cease. It will come to an end. And you can write down Colossians 2, verse number 14. The old law, the sacrifices, the festivals, the feast day, Passover, as we know it under the old law, would cease, Daniel says. It would come to an end, and Christ will establish the new covenant. And we'll mention that here in just a few minutes. But notice the second point, the second major point, the coming of the Messiah, and then number two, the chronology of the Messiah. Going back to verse number 24, Daniel says 70 weeks are determined. Most conservative Bible scholars, and notice that, most conservative Bible scholars will say that this is a chronology of 490 years that began when the second group of Jews were released from captivity and ended in 30 AD. So from 586 to 30 AD, 490 years when Christ was crucified on the cross. But beware, when you start looking into different books written by various religious men, they're going to take that 70 weeks and they're going to develop it and point it to Christ's millennial reign, where Christ comes back to this earth, establishes kingdom, reigns upon the earth for 1,000 years, which doesn't fit anywhere in Scripture. Again, the 70 years, the 490, excuse me, the 70 weeks, the 490 years is an allusion to God's people coming out of captivity, the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah establishing these things that we've talked about already and being put to death on the cross. And then finally, our last point, because time is getting away from us, from Daniel chapter 9, 24 through 27, the consequences of the Jews rejecting the Messiah. Read with me verse number 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah, listen to the language, be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now you go back and listen to what Daniel says. The people of the prince. This represents the Roman government, more specifically, the Roman general Titus, who made his way, who invaded Jerusalem and destroyed it. That's what Daniel is talking about. And then he speaks about the end thereof. What is Daniel talking about? Well, as you think about the Roman general Titus, when he invaded Jerusalem, what happened to the Jewish nation? What happened to Jerusalem? What happened to the temple? Daniel is speaking about the Jewish nation. The end of conflict between the Jews and the Romans would come to an end. And all of this was according to Daniel's prophecy. And Jesus refers to this prophecy again in Matthew 24, verse 15, as the abomination of desolation, because when Titus, the Roman general, came into Jerusalem and invaded Jerusalem, he desolated the city, the people, and the temple. And Jesus refers to it as an abomination because the Romans were looked at as pagans. Dear friends, prophecy is so fascinating. And when we stop and look at all of these details, we see the harmony of Scripture. We see exactly how these things were fulfilled. Now let me mention something historically that I believe is very interesting. Not inspired, so understand what I'm saying, because I'm mentioning something about Josephus. And as you think about Josephus, Josephus didn't care about Christianity. Josephus was commissioned by the Romans to record Roman history. That was his job, his purpose. But do you realize that Josephus, the historian, in his book refers to Daniel's prophecy and says Jerusalem was destroyed just like the prophet Daniel prophesied? And so the point of the lesson is this. Peter says in 2 Peter 1, verse number 16, that we haven't followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter says we were eyewitnesses of these things. Doesn't that strengthen your faith and build your faith to know that we're not following some made-up story when we open this book? This book is inspired by God. And when you study prophecy, when you look at those details, prophecy will build your faith. Prophecy will give you a deeper appreciation for the Scriptures. And if anything, when we think about Daniel's prophecy specifically, it should give us a deeper appreciation of the gospel system, the gospel plan of salvation. It should give us a deeper appreciation of the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, spoke about the new covenant. And when you look at the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews describes this covenant as a better covenant with better promises. And Daniel's prophecy gives us a deeper appreciation of the covenant of Jesus Christ. Lesson is yours. We don't want to leave here tonight without offering the Lord's invitation. The Lord's invitation is always open to those who need to respond. We talked about that plan of salvation. If you never obeyed that plan of salvation, you can obey what Daniel spoke about long ago. You can hear the gospel and unite it with faith. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, be baptized for the remission of your sins. You'll be delivered from Satan's domain. You'll be translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, where all spiritual blessings are found, with the hope of eternity. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, spiritually speaking, won't you please come right now as we stand.